Hey, welcome to Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. It is March, I think it's 27th. Hang on, let me look again. March 27th, 2024. And what a year so far. Man, there's so much going on in the world and so many things happening. And, you know, the ship colliding into the bridge yesterday. Wow, what a terrible thing to see, and that's going to so affect so many people who travel that bridge every day, because it looked to me by the maps that there wasn't any really clear or easy alternative to that. So God bless you if you live up in Baltimore in that area where it happened. Definitely feel for you on that. But anywho, today, what are the things that we've been looking at is, you know, alternative ways to have a better life? And so I want to talk today. I wrote an article called A Guide to Becoming a Successful Digital Nomad. And because there are so many countries out there now that you can actually get a digital nomad visa. The last time I looked, let's say you wanted to go stay in the Grand Cayman Islands. If you were a digital nomad, I believe you could stay there for 2 years on that visa. So, you know, usually vacation visas and things like that all cut out really quick. But these digital nomad visas are, you know, as long as you have a digital business, and I'm assuming you have to prove that in some way. You know, you can go to these countries and stay for extended periods of time. And when your business is able to be operated from basically a computer, laptop, and an internet connection, that's a pretty cool thing. So that would be a lot of fun, especially if you're an empty nester or if you're a young person who is just starting out. You don't have children, although let me say this about children. There is a family, a YouTuber family, that when they very first started didn't have children and have had since children while they were going around the world. And if you've never seen Sailing La Vagabond on YouTube, an Australian couple, cute couple, has, you know, really put themselves out there, has a huge following, and they've circumnavigated the world, you know, several times. When they started out in this little bitty sailboat, and have since graduated up to some pretty large sailboats. So it's pretty cool. And they've had two children while they were doing this. So it is possible to have your whole family. And I do see RVers and things like that that are digital nomads per se. They homeschool their children. So you can, even if you do have children, even though that would present a problem in some cases, I suppose, but it does happen, you know. And you, one of the things that I think with the homeschooling is that is so cool. And then when kids are, you know, introduced to the beauty of the world, you know, the beauty of what's out there, I think it's going to give them an adventurous soul, and I think that's really cool. So, you know, when you do remote work opportunities, you know, that could be anything that you could do. You know, if you were going to work remotely for a company and ask them, say, look, is there anything, for example, my son has a remote job is in insurance, works for a major insurance company, okay, and he can work from home. The problem is that there are monitoring systems, and it's not really a problem, but it would be if you're a remote worker. He has to be in front of that computer all the time. If you were traveling, that could, you know, if you got stuck at the airport or flights got delayed and you had a deal come up where you needed to be online, and they have ways to make sure that, I think through keyboard strokes and video and stuff like that, to make sure that you are working and not, you know, surfing the web or doing something, that you're actually focused on your job. I know his company is pretty strict about that, but I think there are other opportunities out there that may not have the same restrictions as some others would. So that's something to check in with an HR department, or ask when you're looking at a remote job. Now, if you were going to do something on your, you know, I think the most successful opportunities would be that you have an existing online business. You know, if you're a travel vlogger or something like that, and before you head out on some shoestring budget because you don't really have any income coming in, you really need to think that through and make sure that before you head out, you know, that you do have some way to sustain yourself. Now, here's the cool thing, and I've seen this happen on several channels, is, you know, you go out and barter. You know, if you go in and say, you know, hey, we do this, we'll do some YouTube stuff with you, promote your business. I know there's some van lifers that go around and do all kinds of stuff. One lady takes pictures, yoga pictures, in very remote places that they go, beautiful yoga pictures. And she's got a couple of companies that buy those pictures from her, and they use them in their magazines and on their, and when you think about what she gets paid versus what it would take to, and as a professional photographer, I can tell you, to take a team out, okay, for time, equipment, and all that, to go to some remote location, that'd get real expensive. So, you know, if you can put yourself in a situation where you look at the economics of it, you know, let's say you were going to go through the Rocky Mountains, you know, and you were going to take beautiful pictures in the Rocky Mountains. Well, align yourself with companies that, that could use that imagery or those videos to build up their business, because you could sell it to them a lot cheaper and still make good money. But you could provide that service a lot cheaper than sending out a professional film crew, you know, and with the availability of, you know, my son and I have always had, my oldest son and I have always had a kind of a rivalry. I've always carried an Apple phone. He's always carried a Samsung phone. But when the new Samsung phone came out and I saw the cool things with its camera and its ability, I love my son, so I said, you know, I think this time I'm gonna do this, because it does have a good camera. I do have professional equipment, but I, you know, when you need to snap one really quick, it's nice to know that the phone I have, I mean, this goes up to 200 megapixel. I mean, that, you know, if you tried to go out and buy that in a medium format or a DSLR camera that got that kind of megapixel, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars in equipment. So it's pretty cool what technology has done for us. You know, DSLR cameras, you know, can shoot in 4K. They can do all kinds of stuff, and you can get some that aren't that expensive. And if you look at guys that very first started out, the Casey Neistats of the world and Sarah Deechee and people like that, who have used like point and shoot cameras or lesser expensive cameras, and you'll get out there and you'll realize that when you start doing some of this action stuff, you know, swinging a $3,000 or $4,000 camera around when you don't really have, it would really hurt to have to replace that camera because you dropped it off the side of a cliff, you know. So you know when you're out doing some adventure stuff, it's good to have equipment that, if God forbid you did lose it, it wouldn't be a gigantic tragedy, but you still can gain good quality footage from what you have available out there. So it's pretty cool that it's opened up so much opportunity, is I guess the point I'm getting to. So you know, you can, oh goodness, you can cultivate a growth mindset. Would be, you know, you're going to have to embrace remote work opportunities, and then you're going to have to cultivate a growth mindset. And a growth mindset is essential for thriving as a digital nomad. Embrace a mindset that views challenges as opportunities for personal and professional growth. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that happen on that journey. And remember, it's a journey. That's part of the journey. You know, you're going to have things that come up. I can't tell you a couple of times I have driven to the coast and forgot my main camera. Just left it sitting on the table. You know, I had made sure to make sure that it was, you know, fully charged and that I had good SD cards in it and clear, you know, made sure that I had plenty of room or I had brand new SD cards and all that kind of stuff, and cleaned the lenses and all that good stuff and got ready to go, and actually left it there. And then 30 or 40 miles later, realized that, shit, it's sitting on my table in front of my computer. Damn. You know, so then you have to, that's when I break out my phone, or I break out other videos, my GoPro or my Image 360, whatever I have with me that you know, I have to improvise and do something else when I was going to shoot something else. So, you know, that's all part of that growth mindset that, you know, that you're open to learning new skills and adopting a different way. So those are pretty cool. You know, sometimes you have to embrace a diverse perspective, you know, and the ability to continually learn and evolve will set you apart from the crowd and allow you to maximize your potential as a digital nomad. So if you have a restless heart, you know, this is something that I would really recommend that you try. You know, it's something that with the proper planning, I think you can be successful doing it. And, you know, the cool thing is you're out and about, you know, you might find companies in a, I saw a guy that found Craigslist jobs. You know, I don't think you can do that much anymore. I don't think anybody's really using Craigslist for much anymore, which is sad because it was kind of cool. But, you know, it's still there. It's still active. And, you know, I think there's some things, but I don't know that it's a good job source. But if you could find on Facebook or anything else that, you know, local jobs, or go into a business and say, hey, this is what we do. Everybody would find it interesting if you went in and say, hey, we travel around and we do this and this and this, and we were wondering if you had an odd job we could do to make a little money to, you know, throw a tank of gas in the car or whatever it is that you particularly need. Maybe you can go in and say, hey, could we bus tables for an hour, film ourselves and tag you in it, and could we get a free meal? You know, we're not trying to mooch. We're just trying to find ways to barter services for with each other. And you'd be surprised at how many people are going to, you know, dig that. I don't know that you could go in a McDonald's and do it, but I think if you went into some small restaurant or whatever and said, you know, maybe you say, hey, could we, you know, dry the cars at the car wash or whatever, you know, it could be just about anything, and see what there is to do and barter services for either cash or a meal, an overnight stay. I can't tell you how many if you're traveling around with a camper or a van, there, there's going to be a lot of places that if you tag them in your thing and you can show that you have a following and you can show that what you do, you'll be surprised if they say, yeah, if you'll tag us in, tell people that we're van life friendly or that we're RV friendly. Obviously, we are because we're an RV park, or, you know, you're staying at a campground, that type of thing. You'd be surprised at what you may get from folks that not only will you pick up new followers, but you'll also be able to take advantage of some services that they're willing to trade you for that online presence that you have. So think about that. Think about all the fun stuff that you could do. And I use travel as a thing, but, you know, if you were an author, you know, Truman Capote used to go to Spain all the time, you know, and when he was writing, you know, I mean, he obviously wrote when he was in New York, but a lot of the times he would go to Spain. Look at what, there's a reason why authors find remote locations. It's so, because any author will tell you the one thing that really screws up your creativity or your rhythm is if somebody comes in and goes, hey, what are you doing? How's it going? And you were, because you get in that zone, you know, when you're in that creative zone, you know, you don't need somebody to break that sense of concentration that you have when, you know, everything's flowing out of your head. You're typing this unbelievable scene in your book, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and goes, hey, what are you doing? And, well, I was, you know, doing the yada, yada, yada. You know, you're nice, but it really screws it up because it's hard to get back to that place. You know, when the faucet's on and you have to turn it off for a minute, it's hard to turn it back on. I'm not saying you can't get back there, but I'm saying it does potentially have an adverse effect in what you're doing. So that's why this digital nomad stuff, if you're a creative, you're an artist or a writer, a photographer, you know, these are opportunities to go find new things. And you can't just set out, don't just set out, you know, I've learned this is, well, I'll drive over here and take some pictures. Well, no. You know, so, I mean, if you're not really serious, but it's a lot better, at least in my opinion, okay? It may work for you, but it doesn't work for me, and I'll tell you why. Is if you go, you know, like I was going to go see, take some pictures, you know, like I'm in South Texas, so I was going to take some pictures in Goliad, Texas, and because there's a lot of old missions and things there, so... yes, I can go to the old missions and stuff like that. But if I don't really have a plan, per se, if I really don't have a shot list of things that I would like to get, if I haven't really thought about where I would like to shoot and what I would like to shoot and the story that I want to tell behind it, just walking into something without any sort of education on the history of what you're looking at, then it's hard to pick out that one shot that people are going to go, oh my God, how cool is that? You know, there was a cannon turret that I took a shot from. Basically, I backed up a little bit and got kind of right in the middle of where the cannon would sit and the little U-shaped thing in the wall where the cannon barrel would have gone, and tried to shoot a picture of what it looked like out into a battlefield, because that's the only time you'd be shooting that cannon. So, you know, those were cool perspectives, but the rest of it was kind of, you know, I ended up going, I just don't like any of these. You know, because I didn't take the time to really figure out what shots and what my shot list would look like of what I wanted to get, because it had historical significance that would make it an interesting photo. So, you know, and no matter what you're doing, you know, you need to have an actionable plan that allows you to do something that gives it some either historical significance or significance to your message. Or, you know, you don't go, well, let's run out to the beach and we'll take a sunset photo and it's noon. You know, that, I mean, you know, as silly as that sounds, you know, when you go to a particular beach, do a little research on it. You know, figure out what's there that might have something that would make an interesting shot. You know, for example, if you go to the National Seashore on the Gulf of Mexico, if you didn't know this, you wouldn't know to go there. But there's normally peregrine falcons who live in a radio tower that's on the, or stay, you know, they roost up in a radio tower because it's the highest point in that part of the area for sure. And if you've ever seen a peregrine falcon dive because they are the fastest animal on Earth, and if you learn a little bit about them, and if you go out there and you know when they're going to be there, you maybe even make a call to the park ranger and say, hey, you know, do you have any falcons that are at the tower? But if you don't do some work, then if you go down there and say, oh my God, there's a bajillion things to shoot, you might miss that. And that's a huge thing. Because if you caught a peregrine falcon and you caught them diving or even soaring, you know, or what if you found out that they were there and you realized that your biggest millimeter lens that could potentially get close enough to give you a good shot, you left it home because you didn't think you needed it. So having some plan always will help you be more productive as a digital nomad. Don't just go out there and mishmash it around. Try to have a plan. You know, and then you got to prioritize a work-life balance. And that's really hard for me sometimes. You know, you need to engage in self-care activities, meditation, nature walks, physical and mental, to help your physical and mental well-being, getting out and just taking a nature walk. You know, remembering that sometimes leaving all your shit in the car and just going out and being a part of something, you know, nurturing yourself, nurturing your relationship with you, will also open up amazing things in your life. So, you know, I've had most of my life was spent with asshole bosses that, you know, you got to work. You know, you're a man, you know, you got to work, you know, you got to take care of your family. You got to worry about them first. Well, yeah, you do. But when you forget, while you're trying to make a life, to have a life, then you wake up and you go, what the fuck? What did I miss? Well, you missed a lot. So don't, you know, and here's the thing. Some of you may be saying, you know, well, I'm in that job now. Okay. Then if you're listening to this podcast, then I'm assuming that, you know, this digital nomad stuff is appealing to you. So start thinking about it. What would that look like? You can do it with, you can do part of this and develop part of this and get it to a point where it could be something and is something because you've tested the waters and you've got some following and some engagement and people are listening to what you have to say, and then take a look at what would it look like if I said sayonara to my job and went out and started living life and making a living at it. Because that's what a digital nomad is. You're living life and making a living at it. But you also have to still find that work-life balance in the sense that sometimes you have to say, this is a beautiful place to be, but, you know, I really want to just sit and quiet, meditate. I don't want to have to be taking pictures. I don't want to have to be writing poetry. I don't want to have to be writing music. I don't want to have to be playing my guitar. I don't want to have to be doing this or that. I just want to be here for me. Goodness, you guys, sorry. And you can. And you absolutely can. So it's important to remember those. And then have adaptability and resilience. And realize that, like we've talked about in the show so far, is, you know, you forget your camera, or you forget your notebook, or you forget some integral piece of what you were doing and you left it at home, or you did some, you know, have some adaptability to do something different, you know, find a different adventure, or, you know, and then remember, you have to have resilience. You know, not everything is going to be, you know, you may put something out that just sucks and nobody is engaging with it, nobody's doing anything with it, and you have to realize that, you know, it's not the end of the world, you know. You have to have some resilience to know that, you know, everything's not lost if something fails, you know. You can make it, you can make it a difference, you know, and this part of that journey just didn't work out. You know, sometimes you have to navigate cultural differences, varying time zones, unforeseen circumstances. You may get sick on the road. You know, you just, there could be a bajillion things that happen, you know. You have to stop what you're doing to go deal with a, God forbid, a family emergency or something like that. It could be, you know, but have the resilience to come back, you know, and you have the ability to overcome obstacles and succeed as a digital nomad. And that kind of leads me right into financial planning and security. You know, make sure that before you set out, don't go out and just say, you know, I'm going to go do this and go tomorrow and quit your job. No. Okay, you need to plan. You need to have a business plan of sorts that maps out exactly what you're gonna do, how you're gonna do it. You know exactly what your monthly budget's gonna be and what you're gonna need, even if you have to live on a shoestring budget. And then how long does that look like in terms of how long is my bank account going to sustain me if I don't have an income, you know, or until I build an income, you know. These are big, major things to think about, you know. And so, and you're going to get a lot of pushback, especially, you know, if you have a family and, you know, sometimes you have to sit down as a family and go, look, you know, we live this comfortable lifestyle. We live all this stuff, you know, but my job, I just feel like I'm losing me. You know, I hate the job I go to. I don't like, you know, I tolerate the people I work with. I have a shit bag for a boss. And I don't like it. And I want to do something different. You know, and it may mean blah, 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 blah. And have that family conversation. Have that conversation with your spouse. You know, I don't want us to live a lesser life. I want us to live a more full life. And what would that life look like? You know, because you will get pushback from people don't like to risk comfort. And if you're going to break out on your own and become a digital nomad, there's going to be a lot of discomfort. So, what is your risk tolerance? You need to define that. And, you know, you need to have the buy-in from everybody else in the family, because that's, you know, you know, if you have high school age kids, it's going to be hard to say, you know, hey, we'd like to hit the road, you know, and you finish out your school through homeschool, and they've been with kids they've been with for a long time. So that digital nomad thing may have to look like something different until your children get to an age where, you know, because I agree, you know, it's not fair to take kids out of their comfort level, their friends and things like that. That's a damn hard thing to try to think about doing. Now, you know, let's say that on spring break, we're going to try and we're going to go out and we're going to do an actual digital nomad trip. And then maybe on another winter break or a spring break or whatever break, you know, a long weekend, you may be surprised and have your kids come to you and go, you know, could we do this all the time? Because now they've had a taste of the adventure. Because you don't know until you actually get out there and try. So, you know, planning for all this, the security side of this and the financial planning side of this, but the security side of it is when someone understands something, they go, oh, now I understand what we're doing. I didn't know we were going to be doing this. I get to go out and do this, and we get to do this all the time? Yeah, deuces. You know, let's go. So that's what makes this so unbelievably friendly, is that even though you may have kids that are in football, cheerleading, and all these other activities, but they get a taste of what it's like to do something different and something where you're engaged as a family, you know, they may buy in a little bit quicker. And they may not, you know, it depends. You know, because we do have a responsibility to our children to allow them to become the people that we took that responsibility the day they were born, to allow it to help them become the person that they want to be. So part of this digital nomad stuff may have to be done in different ways. Vacations, summer vacations, you know. So it does open up some really interesting thoughts and interesting conversations to have with the family, you know. And you have to plan, and I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but planning your digital nomad lifestyle is an absolute must. You can't willy-nilly go out and do this and expect it to be a success. You know, you have to create what you're going to do and how you're going to generate any income from what you're doing. If you're going to build up a social media thing, here's the thing with social media. Okay, and why you need to find and be diverse in the way that you do things. If you're going to go out and build an Instagram channel, for example, and then you build it up and you've got 500,000-600,000 people on it, you know, you're doing all kinds of things from it, you're making money from it, and all of a sudden Instagram in its infinite wisdom decides your account is banned. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to resolve issues with any of the social media platforms. It's virtually non-existent. You know, for example, we started a TikTok shop. And we were going to run TikTok ads. And I was actually budgeting a fairly significant amount of money to promote and get the shop off of the ground. In less than 2 minutes after being approved to run ads, I get a message that says we're permanently banned. No reason, no nothing. And we have a good, we have our TikTok shop has a decent amount of followers. We're engaging. We put up content. Never, ever has any, not one of our videos ever been put in TikTok jail. I've never made any off-color remarks, never made any controversial remarks. Actually, we post mostly things about music history, things about bands, you know, history of bands and history of music and history of movies, classic movies, you know. So it's nothing, it's not anything that's controversial. And for weeks, I kept having to renew, till finally it was like, you know what, they're not even going to answer me. So to hell with it. You know, obviously they're, and for me, here's where you, the resilience comes in. TikTok Shop is arguably one of the hottest things out there. There has to be a reason that we're not able, you know, we the shop's still there. I just can't put any ad placement to it to really get it to move much. And I don't, just because of the bullshit that I had with them and the fact that you can't even get them to, I had to reappeal, because, you know, you're talking to a computer. You're not even talking to a human, because it you can tell. I mean, you just get to a point where you can tell that, you know, because finally at the on like the third or fourth try, it finally said, well, you know, this has been escalated up to basically a human person, and you'll hear from us in 48 hours. 48 hours pass, and if you don't re-up it, then they close your case. So we would re-up, and then it got to a point where it wouldn't even let us do that. So I don't know why. There's not a phone number you can call. There's not people that you can check with. There's not, you know, we've put out there, hey, we would love to have someone take a look at our TikTok ad account and tell us what we, why or what we did wrong, you know, because if we made a mistake, it would have been an honest mistake. And like I said, we've never violated anything. So if that was, let's say, for example, that was a huge source of income for me, now all of a sudden I can't do the things that are generating the income. So you have to think about these things when you are choosing what you want to do, is not put your digital eggs in one basket, as they say in business. You know, so not only do we have TikTok, but I have an Etsy shop and I have a TeePublic t-shirt shop. And we just do silly t-shirts. They're just fun, silly t-shirts and hats. And, you know, I had some, we made some in there, you know, it's stuff that we get from the printer that they're playing cards that say strip poker on them, you know, and just novelty, interesting, cute stuff like that. I have hats that say peace, or, you know, different, you know, flight risk and all this kind of stuff. I sold a couple of hats to a lady in California that the hat says butthead, and she bought two different styles of it for her husband for his birthday, which I you know, which was cute, because the first hat that got sent out to her, she sent me pictures and it was all smashed up in the thing. Well, the printer, you know, that did, or the people that do the hat actually sent her a new hat, and obviously free of charge, and they sent her out a thing from me that said, you know, next time you get a discount and things like that, we hope you'll, you know. And they were very very quick to respond and all that cool stuff. But if I just had my eggs in one basket and something happened, especially in social media, you know, because all of a sudden you can, how many people have you heard on there that get banned and they can't figure out why? Or they say something that all of a sudden somebody at the company says, oh, we don't like that. So they shadow ban you, or they do something to mess with your account. So don't get caught in a situation, because so much you guys can hear Crummy messing around. I think there's another dog outside, so I apologize. Because they're always in the studio with me, and he heard something. So usually it's another critter outside. So anyway, have some diversify what you do so that you're not just counting on one thing, especially if it's social media driven. You know, you have to give equal parts to certain platforms. You're going to be bigger on than you are on others, but don't not feed the social media that you decide, and don't think that you have to be on every single solitary one. Pick the ones that you like, but have at least, I would say, a minimum of three that you can use and utilize in order to build your brand and build what you do, you know, because you could get thrown, and you'll hear TikTokers say it all the time, I'm in TikTok jail, I'll be out in a couple of days, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. And I have a real problem with some of the things that they do when it comes to protecting children. You know, I'm a big proponent of, you know, Instagram. They don't need to be, you know, people who have, you know, send bad pictures to children. No, I'm out on that. So I have a real hard problem with that, because they don't clearly do enough to protect our kids online. And so that that kind of sucks. So you know, sometimes you have to take a stand with things and say, you know what, I'm not going to support that. You know, it may cost me some stuff, but I'm going to live by a moral compass that I follow, not one that I let social media take me down. It's my moral compass is the one I follow, not something that you know, a social media provider is going to suggest that I do or not do. So, you know, I can't tell you how big of a thing that is, you know. I mean, I write books, and I found another, and normally we do well on Amazon, but I found another opportunity for us to, or for me actually, to put my books out into a different platform other than Amazon and Barnes & Noble Online and some others. You know, this one actually is pretty cool, and it's a Canadian-based company. But if you look at Kobo, K-O-B-O, they have self-publishing opportunity, and it reaches a different audience, and it's part of that, and I may butcher the name, that Rakuten, and you see a lot of that on online. So, you know, I put up some stuff there, and let's see what happens, because I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket. I use Lulu to publish certain things, because it does get me out on different platform and different platform opportunities, you know. So I broaden my reach that way. And so that's something we do. We, you know, use three different video services for I don't just rely on YouTube. You know, we have a couple other services that, you know, we use Vimeo and Rumble. And I especially use Rumble in our news, on our news organization side. And so anyhow, you know, those are all things that you have to think about. And then, you know, another thing is as you begin to learn to set your budget. What are you willing to, or what can you get your travel costs down to? What method works best for you? You know, how am I going to pay my bills? Can I pretty much pay everything online, especially if I'm traveling, and, you know, all these type of things. So, you know, your financial well-being is obviously one of the most important aspects of making this work. And then, you know, you want to think about, what gear am I going to need? Okay, Digital Nomad has a few pieces of equipment that become their life, basically. And that's a laptop, a good camera, a portable hard drive, so that you can take your stuff. Let's say you can take your stuff off of your computer and put it onto a hard drive. That way, if you're ever, ever out somewhere and heaven forbid your laptop got stolen, you dropped it, it just crashes, that kind of thing. If you have everything backed up to a portable hard drive, then you haven't lost anything. And then what are you going to use as far as being able to, you can't count on, first off, getting on public Wi-Fi is not ever a smart idea. Even with a VPN anymore, it's really not a smart idea. So when you go to campgrounds, usually there's Wi-Fi, but if your life is this, then you may want to consider, some sort of portable router. I use T-Mobile, their home internet service, and so far I haven't had any trouble with it. And it's less expensive for what I do than other. Starlink has an amazing internet program. I'm probably going to upgrade to that, as I've got two documentaries we're going to start filming, so I'm probably going to upgrade that for us out in the field. And then you need a way to power these sources. You need some sort of power bank. And how long does it last? And power banks can get rather expensive, so you want to get a good one. So, those are all things to consider. What do you need in order to do your digital job? And make sure you get the right stuff, and then make sure you have, good insurance and all that kind of stuff. So, and if you need travel insurance, liability insurance, things that, you just never know what's going to go on. And do you have, a health insurance so you can get into, or at least something that will allow you to get medical attention if you need it. Obviously staying connected with people while you're traveling. If you're traveling solo, making sure that mom and dad know where you are, making sure your brothers and sisters know where you are, your colleagues, just staying safe. I see a lot of women that are out as solo travelers, and they're very mindful and diligent about how they take care of themselves, because let's say you're out, you're van lifing, well, chances are you're probably going to have to find, you can use truck stop, and honestly, some truck stops have very clean showers. They're very well kept. In fact, I would kind of stock up some of the truck stop showers to, a lot of people have National Gym memberships where they can go into a gym, catch a workout, and get a shower. And that's a pretty good alternative, obviously. But, if you're not a big workout junkie, let your conscience be your guide. All of this can be really cool, really fun. A lot of it you can travel internationally. A lot of it you can travel in the U.S. You can travel through Mexico, Canada. There are safe places to go in Mexico. Not everything that you hear is horrible about Mexico. You hear all this stuff about cartels and all these things. Yes, in certain areas of Mexico that you'd be crazy to go to. But there are certain places where you can go, especially like in the Yucatan Peninsula. I know Cancun's been a little dangerous to go to, but there are other parts of the Yucatan Peninsula that are not, going and seeing some of the bigger Mayan stuff, pyramids and things like that. Most of those areas are really pretty safe. They have good campgrounds and stuff like that you can go to, nice hotels to stay at. South America is the same way. There are countries in South America that you know, Ecuador, although they just had a mass prison breakout, Ecuador had put in jail a big chunk of their criminal gang members, and the travel had opened up quite a bit, and I think they had a pretty bad coup in one of the prisons, and I think there's like over 1,000 bad criminals that got out. So obviously those are things to be worried about. But traveling through Argentina, Chile, Brazil, you know, like everything, there's even safe places to go in Colombia, you know, Honduras, you know, if you go into like La Ceiba, Honduras, that's a beautiful coastal town on the Gulf of Mexico, and it's beautiful, you know, a lot of, you know, Belize. So there's a lot of opportunities close to home that you can take advantage of. The Caribbean is full of, you know, opportunities. Like I said earlier in the first of the show, you know, the Grand Cayman, last I looked, had a 2-year digital visa, digital nomad visa. That's a pretty cool thing, you know. It'd be awful tough duty to have to live in the Cayman Islands for 2 years. And you could, you know, you can, if you have things you can do, and if you were doing a travel vlog, for example, what, you know, if you were in the Cayman Islands for a year, I think you could probably pretty much make that an entire series, you know. Best places to dive, best beaches to sunbathe, best, you know, best nightclubs, best hotels, best everything, you know. And if people start seeing that all of that's engaging, you'd be surprised at how many businesses are going to reach out to you and go, ooh, do a, you know, do something about us. Come eat here and tag us in a tweet, tag us in a Instagram photo. You know, your meal's on us. So there's so many fun things and fun opportunities with this. And given the absolute state of all the shit that's going on, and if you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're sick and tired of listening to all the bullshit, this is a nice alternative to go, you know what, this actually gives me some hope, you know, because I can do what, and I've said this a million times, you guys, do what you want to do, not what you have to do. If you're working a 9-to-5 and you hate it, that's because you have to work it. You have to pay your bills, obviously. So that's a have to. A want to is, I published a book and now I'm going to go do speaking engagements and I'm going to get people to buy my book, and you know, and I'm going to develop a couple guys I know that have been in the top 10% or the top 10 of the best books on available on Amazon. And when you get to that level, let me just say that the money that you split as an author, when you get to that, when you get to that big level, is astronomical. It's huge. It's a big number. And you could definitely have a nice life getting there. So have you got a novel in mind? Have you got a how-to in mind? Have you got, you know, a mystery in mind? And the guys that did the, let me go back, I really didn't tell you what they did. Okay, so they didn't spend a dime advertising on Amazon, but what they had was a following. And they got their followers to go and do it. And by the way, if you gave your book as a premium, as you buy those copies, that goes towards, you know, you having a, because what you need to really be successful on Amazon is you need good reviews and you need volume. And Amazon will serve your books higher in the search if you have those things working for you. And so these guys, what they do is they get a following that doesn't really require them to do that. They reach out to their followers on their email lists and things like that, which, you know, that's a whole other podcast. But if you develop a following and you can give away your book as a premium, you know, which goes towards your count on books, and these guys, without using really anything that Amazon has other than a publishing space and a place to go buy their book and get into, you know, bestseller. When you reach that level, I can tell you right now, you're making damn good money. You travel any freaking place you want, without a doubt, because you are making damn good money if you get into that, if you can get there. And you can. There's, you know, it's these guys are selling digital how-to books, and they're teaching you business and entrepreneurship, and they don't have a following on Amazon. What they have is a following of people that listen to what they have to say. So you can do this, and you can become very successful. You know, and it just, like I said, it takes time to build. So start building now. Don't, you know, I will always say this in just about every podcast, video, book I write. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. If you're going to start thinking about doing something, then start taking some actionable steps today. You don't got to quit your job. You can talk, you know, you talk to your family, or you can probably hear a lot of wives saying, what the hell are you thinking? How, you know, the kids are in school, blah, 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 blah. Nah. We're just talking. And sometimes family is not who you sound this off with. Sometimes you have to sound it off with yourself. And you have to start doing a little research. Maybe your spouse comes in and goes, what are you doing on the computer? Well, here, I'll show you. What are you looking at? What are you, you know? And it becomes a conversation. But maybe a lot of that time that, you know, and take some time to spend, you know, developing what you want to do. It's like I say in all these, like, I've done critical thinking podcasts and things where, you know, you see all these, especially young people today, who can't articulate a good response other than you're a fascist, fuck you. Well, you know, most of them, you know, my smart ass remark is, well, spell fascist for me, you know, because most of them can't. You know, when you can make a good argument, a calm argument, you know, one that makes me go, you know, I really didn't think about it that way. I'll rethink this stuff a little bit. Thank you. Fuck you does not encourage me to do anything but think you're an idiot. So I want you to be able to, in these podcasts that I get, I want people to be able to express themselves in a way that has an impact other than you're a moron. Because you're not when you can make a good case for why you believe a certain way. And you are absolutely 1,000% okay to believe the way you want, but be able to back that up with some facts and some things that make people go, wow, I really didn't think of it that way. Huh. I'll be damned. So, you know, I hope that this has kind of spread out and talked to a point where if you were thinking about it, or if I spurred something inside you and you said, damn, I hadn't thought about that. You know, life can be something different. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter that I don't even have a social media account. Well, maybe today you make one. You know, or get on some and start seeing what people do. You know, you can search for digital nomad, business, writers, you know. I'm on a writing community account that I love, or I say, right, I'm on X. There's a thing that if you use the hashtag writing community, it gets to other writers. And when someone comes up and says, hey, I got published today, or hey, I published a new book, or hey, what do y'all think about that? You know, it's unbelievable how many people go in and say, oh my God, you know, I always congratulate people and hope, you know, and I get the same congratulations right back. So it's a beautiful thing. And you can do this. You know, maybe you want to start a podcast. You would be surprised. All of these things are really easy to do. Spotify for Podcasters, which is where I'm at, but I'm also available on Google, Apple, and other podcast platforms. You know, and it's easy, really easy to do. It is not hard at all. So if you think, well, I don't, you know, I'm not very technically, or I'm technically challenged, well, get unchallenged, you know. And most of these things are really very user-friendly, very easy to do. As you can tell in this podcast that I'm doing, my dogs are in here. You can hear, a lot of times they'll bark, or you can hear their nails clacking around on the floor, or you can hear, you know, the train whistle blow as it, I think it was just blowing. I think you can, I was picking it up in my headphones, so it'll be on the recording. You don't have to have some sound stage to do all this. In fact, a bajillion of my previous podcasts, a lot of them were done in the car or out in the field somewhere. Because you can do it from your phone. That's how simple it is. You know, smartphone is one of the greatest things, I think, that has ever happened, because there's so many cool things you can do on your smartphone that you can actually run a business from a smartphone. So that's pretty damn cool and pretty powerful when you think about it. And none of these things, guys, I know I'm kind of beating a dead horse here, but none of these things are hard. So if you are not this savvy person, I'm telling you, it's not hard to learn. I don't care how young or old you are, you can learn. And if you think you're too busy, well, you know, I've got my kids, I've got this, I've got that. So I know this is crass and I say that all the time, but I'm going to tell you what's my thing for time, okay? It's when people tell me, I just, there's no way. I've got, you know, mornings, I got to get the kids up, I got to do this, I got to get, you know, to work, I got to get to this, you know, all of these things. And my first question to you is, did you have a bathroom break today? Did you go pee? Yeah, of course you did. Okay, well, why did you do that? So I didn't pee in my pants. No, it goes a little further than that. It's because you had to. You're telling me you don't have time to do nothing. Nothing. But you found 5 or 10 minutes to go to the restroom. So how many other things could you find in a day if you learned the difference between activity and productivity? How much of your day was spent farting around on social media? Talking to your whoever, friend, lover, confidant, that was just mindless gibberish? So if you can find, and you may have to steal time to do things in small bites and chunks, but you can do it. You can do it. And if you organize your life, and I even wrote a book about this, Organize Your Life to Win. You know, when you organize your life and get it down to where you know, well, I don't want to live my life, you know, from 8 to 9 o'clock, I'm doing this. Why? What difference does it make? But when you can give yourself, if you, here's the tried and true test too, is journal what you did hour to hour for 24 hours, or at least give yourself 2 days. What is your normal daily routine? I promise you, you can find a ton of time, because you have to learn the difference between activity and productivity. Farting around on social media is activity. Actually doing something that produces a result is productivity. Productivity would be like cooking dinner for the family. Cleaning the house is productivity. You know? Driving to work is activity. So what can I do to turn that into productivity? Could I be listening to an audiobook? Could I be listening to a podcast? Educating myself? Absolutely. That's productivity. Because the actual act of driving to work is an activity. It's not productivity. Not till you get there. So in between is that time you can find. So what I'm telling you is that you just don't make an excuse. You can excuse yourself out of the life that you want. Pretty easy to do that too. You know? And don't listen to naysayers. You're going to have, and frankly, most naysayers are going to be people who are the closest to you. So you may want to just hang off on that and do your thing until you're ready to present a compelling thing, a compelling story, a compelling proposal that says, hey, this is something I would like to do. Not everybody that's with you today will be with you tomorrow. Just know that when you start all this. And I'm not saying you're going to get a divorce or any dumb shit like that. You're going to lose your kids. No. But there's going to be people around you that are going to ask you, why are you doing this? Why are you being so dumb? And then when you get it done, they're going to be asking you, hey, dude, how did you do it? Can you show me how to do it? Remember these things. So a digital nomad life, is it for you? I hope so. Or I hope you're considering some version of it. I have, and I've embraced it, and I love it, and I would never go back to a corporate way of life, ever. You know, I'm going to do whatever I need to do in order to make what I do succeed, you know, and God willing, that's gonna happen. And in many ways, it has. And so I'm very grateful for all of that. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate you tuning in. You can financially support us if you like the podcast. I do appreciate that. That is how we make money. So if you have the ability to support the podcast financially, there is a button for you to do that. Also, if you want to just learn more about me or learn more about what my books and things like that, if you follow the link in the bio, it actually will take you to my link tree, which will take you to a landing page that has every single solitary thing that I have that's working and going on right now. So all of our social media stuff, YouTube channels, X channel, the Etsy store, even the podcast is there as well. So I hope that you'll utilize those. I do write articles just about every day, so you can view that on my blog, and also our news channel. We put up stories all the time, and most of it is historical type things, I think, today. And I try to write stuff that's a little obscure, but we did a story about the history of chewing tobacco. And it's not some mindless, inane thing. It actually goes back and does some historical things. It's not something it's not a healthy thing to do. But when you wrote about the history of tattooing, its origins. We've written histories about pirates, about real life pirates from back in the day. You know, there's really, it's kind of a news magazine. It's stuff that you can go there and, you know, it's never more than a 2 or 3 minute read, and you go, wow, that was kind of cool, funny. You know, so we try to keep it on the lighthearted but interesting facts that you might not otherwise know. So, and it's good stuff to go, oh my God, I read the funniest or the coolest thing today about, you know, and understand the history of like tattoos, for example. And I'm really proud of that article. So it actually, we did a great deal of research to bang it all out. And I it's just interesting. Okay. All right. So thanks again for listening. And this is the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. And I'm Robert Bruton. Bye for now.